Hasn't it been an amazing month so far, the relationship month? It's been amazing, and it's caused me to really just stand still and look a bit and ask myself and reflect on the relationship that we have in church. And one area that has really where my thoughts went was cell groups, and I think we put in a lot of effort there, and we really see the fruit. I mean, just for an example, if you take one or two of the cells, Andres' cell and Stiana Johani's cell, then you've got people that's married and settled, maybe even babies, but there's also students that go to the same cell groups. And even in that, there's been a family developing. And I think we've come a long way. But you know, as Christ-seeking individuals, as every normal Christian should, we must ask ourselves the whole time, how can I improve to be more like Christ? Okay, so we come to this place the whole time where we say, Lord, show us who you are so that I can change and become more like you. Who are you? Who am I? And that question we must ask the whole time. And tonight, in a way, I want to start off this message by looking very closely at Christ, especially how he behaved in one or two instances. And I want us to take from that a few lessons. And then do that. Say, Lord, this is you. Make me like this. Give me the skill. I want to grow. Okay? So I've called the sermon, Called to Inspire. And I want you to put your seatbelt on because we're going to take a few turns. Talking about inspiration, encouragement, relating with people, it's very hard for me to keep it simple. I need to make a detour in our working environments, the marketplace, and I'm going to do that. But please stick with me because I'm sure that God was going to give us a few keys tonight. Okay? If you've got your notebook here, be ready. Please turn with me in your Bible, or you can just follow on the screen to John 1 verse 40. Now, before I start there, it was just amazing. What happened just before that verse is John is spending time with his disciples, John the Baptist, and Christ comes walking past. And just, this one is for free, okay? A good leader knows who the real leader is. So what John does is he says, there goes the Lamb of God, the one who is greater than me. And do you know what happens at that moment? He loses his crowd. His followers goes and they follow Christ. Okay, that's not part of my sermon, but for me that was amazing. And the same is applicable for us. Cell leader, friends, to fellow believers, people at work, we only show towards the true leader, which is Christ. Okay, great example by John the Baptist. But let's just take it from verse 40. So one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. Let me just grab some water here. So he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him. Now, I put that in red, because I have noticed that every time when Jesus looks, or beholds, or sees, there's something coming, okay? And I've asked myself every time, what did Christ see? Okay? So he sees Simon walking towards him. And who of you have seen Terminator? The old one. When he sees something, it's like the red. You know, it's all these little dots, mathematical equations. And I think with Christ, it was a bit like that. Maybe he saw Simon's whole life just quickly run through him, you know, like a movie. Oh, that's Simon. I know him. I designed him. I made him. Maybe he saw him on his last day. Was he crucified upside down? Peter? Yes. He was crucified upside down. Maybe Jesus saw him on his last day when he was breathing his last breath as he's walking towards him. Maybe he saw him that day when he jumped out of the boat onto the water, you know, running towards Christ. Or maybe even the night where he three times denied Jesus. But what Christ is saying is interesting here. the first thing he does after he looks is he condescends to the level of Peter, and he's going to associate with him. He's saying, I know who you are. You are Simon. I even know your dad, John. And then he says, you shall be called Cephas, or Peter, which means rock. Now, why Jesus calls him a rock at that stage, it's interesting. Because if we recall Peter's behavior, we know for sure that at that stage, he was everything but a rock. Okay? Because after that, he would still deny Christ. He would make the most silly suggestions at random times. Okay? Jesus even tells him one time, get behind me, Satan. So we know he's not really a rock. But yet again, Christ goes and he calls him rock. He calls him by something that he would become. Isn't that interesting? Not something that he is at that moment. Okay? I'm going to go on. I'm not going to comment more on that. But the next day and the next verse, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And he responds interestingly. He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, whether he's joking, whether he's sarcastic, whether he's honest, we don't know. But we see there's doubt. He says, can anything good come from this place? And Philip said to him, come and see. And then again, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, now there's many things that I would say if I was Christ. The first one is, why do you doubt me? Okay? Nazareth is a great place, like Wellington, where I grew up. Okay? So get over your little things and believe. Okay? There's work to be done. Christ sees him coming towards him, but again, Christ condescends to his level. And with all the people standing around, he says, the next verse, here is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Interesting. It doesn't match up. Just two verses ago, he was doubting whether the Messiah can be here. And yet Christ said there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered to him, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, and I saw you. Now, just a second there, the fig tree wasn't just a random tree. It was a place where they studied the word of God, teachers, rabbis. So the fact that Jesus says to him, I saw you under the fig tree before Simon called you, might have a special implication. It might be that Nathanael sat under the fig tree and was worshiping. Maybe he was trying to understand scripture. Maybe he was praying to God and said, God, when's the Messiah coming? We don't know. But Christ said, I saw you under the fig tree. And the moment when Christ said that, his response is, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Isn't that amazing? Now, the problem is that we can't see in the same way as Christ sees. Okay? Because when Christ just looked from a different angle, he reached into the heart of those individuals and he brought up what is positive. Okay? He touched their potential and their lives changed on that spot. Okay? Now, Christ is showing to us the skill that is in a big sense lost to mankind. The skill to look further than what we see here. Okay? The skill to look deeper. And when a person reacts in ways that is not respected, we can't see why. Okay? But as believers, we should ask, is it possible for us to have the same eyes as Christ? Is it possible for us to have the same mind? Is it in any way possible that we can look to people in a different way? And I believe yes. I believe we've got the same spirit that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? He came to us. He met us at one stage in our life, most of us here. And he said, I see your sin. I see your brokenness. I want you to give me that. I'm going to give you what is beautiful. I'm going to give you beautiful ashes. And I believe Christ tells us to go and do the same. Okay? I want to quickly talk, share a very honest testimony. I've never shared this to anyone except my wife, I think. Please understand where this comes from. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to be honest. Okay? So, in school, I was a different man than what I am now. Okay? Let's say I had 5 gears. I never got above gear number 2 in terms of potential. Okay? I was, 50% of the, it was 50% my mistake that one girl had to go and see a psychologist because of name calling and stuff like that. And it was not primary school. So I'm just being very honest. Okay? God had to do a miracle in my life. Hallelujah. Okay? I'm being very honest here. So matric comes and God touches me. I'm still clueless. I don't know what's going on. All I know is I need to change. Okay? Matric end exam. That's where things start happening in my life. I got baptized the day before the shofar first year's camp. Okay? I don't know how that all happened, but it happened like that. I got baptized, and I knew I wanted to follow God, but still not changed. There's still the same man in second gear, working things around for myself, very clueless. And the first day, when I stepped onto that little place in Ceres under the nice oak trees, one of the pastors in Shofar, he's still there today, he saw me, and he spoke to the girl next to him. Okay, I found this out a year later. He said, that man there must be the prim of Heismare. That's the first time he saw me. Doesn't know me from a bar of soap. We must invest in him. Okay? And on that day, I don't know if they planned this, I don't know if they prayed, but people started to spend time with me. Okay? And I started to change. 1 year and 6 months later, I got selected as the prim of Heismare. God had changed me into a leader. Okay, that was only my second year. Normally, then you first go for Harkar, High School, and then you go for prim. But someone saw something in me and acted on it. And from that day, I have to constantly remind myself that there's young people around me. They're popping up from all over. I need to spot the potential in them. I need to see what they saw in me that day. And I'm changed today, and I'm so thankful. And you know, they still support me. That man has not stopped praying for me, sending me mail, asking me this. You know? Are you watching porn? Yes. Are you doing this? Are you chasing money? Those questions are still coming 8 years later. And it all started with a man being open for God at one moment. And God wants to do that through us today. Amen? Now, I want to take this principle and I want to run with it quickly into the marketplace, into the workplace. Okay? I want to quickly chat about 2 styles of leading. Now, it was not possible for me to separate leadership from a relationship. It's not possible. You can't do it because leadership is relating with people. So we can call it styles of relationship. We can call it styles of leadership, whatever you want. The first style, let's roll on, need to get going. The transactional style of leadership or relationship. It works very easy. I get paid to get a job done. If I do the job, I get my pay. I go home. I'm happy. Okay? These kind of leaders or managers will do a good job if they do it by the book. They will keep their jobs and even get promotion. Okay? There's nothing wrong with this. Okay? They have the thing they have in their hands to get things done is this transaction. Okay? If the transaction is viable for both parties, then the job will get done. Okay? Most of the time, they will not interfere with you unless there's a deviation from what needs to be done. Okay? So you need someone to do your books. You get someone to do your books. They do your books. You pay them money and everyone's happy. But as Christians, we can go beyond this. Okay, I'm flying through this, okay? We can go and be transformational relators. Now follow me in this, because this can change your workplace, okay? Transformational leaders or relators, they do three things, okay, that transactional leaders cannot bring to the table. The first thing they do is they provide meaning to everyone around them. Okay? They provide meaning. And how this works is they will find a way to tell people around them that what they do makes a contribution. It makes a difference. Okay? I'm talking about the workplace, but you can immediately take this to your marriage. Okay? The problem with this, you might think, is that the only way I can provide meaning is if I'm on top. Okay? If I'm the boss, I can look down and I can say, yeah, you're doing a great job. But you can do it in 360 degree. I actually wish that Tien did not come tonight because I want to use him as an example for a few times. For me, okay, I want to improve myself as a leader, as a man that follow Christ, and I want to lead in exceptional ways. Okay? I make it my job. It's not my job, but I make it my job to tell Tien's, okay, when he has led me in inspirational ways. Okay? When I came to the office the first day, he said, there's your desk. There's your laptop. You've got a diary. Go. I'm not going to look over your shoulder. Okay? He put his trust in me from the first day. For me, I'm just talking about myself now. If I want to be an inspirational person, it's important for me to tell people around me that they have meaning. So even though he's my senior, I had to go and tell him, the way that you introduced me into the office was amazing compared to what I've heard from other people. Okay? Take that to your workplace. Take that to your marriage. If you want to be more than a transactional relator, give meaning to people around you. Tell them. Find ways. Okay? I drive through the security boom at my house, and I honestly adore those guys for the work they do. I feel safe. They've got meaning. They work at the gate. They dressed properly. They will not let you come to my house before phoning me. Sorry, guys. Cost you R2 to come visit. You'll have to phone at the gate. But God gives us this ability to look beyond and give meaning and inspire those around us. That's the first thing. Firstly, let me just stop quickly at marriage. Okay? I can settle for what is basic. Leave my wife in the kitchen. I don't know how long she will stay there. But I can try. Okay? Or I can make it. I'm glad she's not here. Excuse me, you can't tell me I'm lying. Any case. Or I can make it part of my job as a husband to give meaning to my wife very often. To remind her why it is important for me to be married to her. To remind her that I cannot do what I'm doing now if it was not for her. I must give meaning, okay, if I want to go beyond and be an inspirational figure like Christ, my role model. Okay, I'm only going to give three things today. There's a lot one can say. I've read through a study of over 50 pages of this, and I've summed it up very shortly. If you want the stuff, I'll mail it to you. The second thing they do is they inspire followers through two ways. The first thing is they provide vision. They ask transformational relators. Okay, we're in relationships. Okay, you want to be more than just there. Okay, you ask this question the whole time. How can I make Leon get closer to the calling that God has for him? I help him with his vision. In the workplace, how can I help this person, this new accountant at PwC, be the best he can be? He is young. He's got a lot to learn, but I see potential. I'm going to help him reach his potential. If you do that without bringing the gospel in there, you are spreading the gospel, because I promise you, you will get an opportunity because you will be inspirational. That guy will come and talk to you. They ask that question the whole time. Let's go again to marriage. My wife's got a calling as well. Dennis's wife's got a calling. She's doing a lot more sometimes than we do. She prays for people on a daily basis in the hospital. Am I inspiring my wife, helping her with her vision? If I have that ability, we're going to get to that at the end. It's going to take something, but let me just drop it there. You and I will not be able to do any of these things if we are focused on ourselves. You cannot look out when you look in. You must either be happy with who you are, draw a line with it, say thank you God, and start living to the outside, or this will not be possible. You cannot inspire other people to climb up a ladder if you want to get up that ladder yourself. Okay? We're going to get back to that at the end. They help others with their vision. I want you to find your calling, because your calling to me is just as important as my calling. Vision, today vision is a lot of things, but vision is also just to see, help people see what is real. There is men sitting here, there's women sitting here with a lot of fear in their lives. Help them to see. Come next to them, pray with them, talk with them, spend time to help them. You will inspire them. The second way they inspire, this is very interesting. Individual consideration. Okay? Now, transformation, I'm using this term. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to say the better leader or the worse one. Let me use this term. Okay? Are you okay with it? Transformational compared to transactional. Transformational leaders treat everyone different. I need to qualify that. I did not say there must be different rules for everyone. In other words, you must work 6 hours, but you must work 10 hours. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, they know and they understand that if I want to inspire or get you to communicate with me and we want to get this job done, they understand that I have to work different with a very emotional person compared to a person that is very task-driven. My wife, she's not here, yay, is an emotional being, okay? She is very creative, and she thinks with her heart. I love it about her. If I was married to an engineer lady that was very systematic, I would have to learn to love her differently. Am I right? You cannot treat all people the same, okay? If you treat everyone the same, paradoxically, you're treating everyone different because they are different. Okay? Does that make sense? Once again, this is a day's worth of sessions. I'm putting it in 5 minutes. And the last one is, they influence or they inspire others on how they live. The decisions they make, the way they speak to you, the way they approach you, the way they look at life and gun for it, they inspire. But no, they don't only speak in admirable ways, they live in admirable ways. They live to inspire. So, think about your own boss for a second. I just want to get you thinking. Do you want to be like him? Maybe. Maybe. Ask yourself this question. The people beneath me, do they want to be like me? Do I behave in inspirable ways? Okay? Just to get the juices going. If I got you thinking, I'm very happy. I'm going to leave it there. Because we're talking about relationship this month. Okay, we can't have it only in the church. I wanted to just take it out on a detour. So I'm glad that you stick with me there. Right. Where do we start? Okay. Where do we pick this up? Because that is the question. I want to start, hopefully this is your desire, I want to be more than just average in a relationship. Whose desire is that, to be more? Put your hands up in the air. Put your hands up in the air, okay? Okay? Okay, so let's start with Christ. I like this. Please read with me this section. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, that sounds good for a start. We want to be like Christ, yes? Yes, yabo. Thanks, Nietling. Love it. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, being in the likeness of men. So there is God. Think about it for 1 second. King of kings, Lord of lords. He reigns on high. He speaks mountains into being. Okay? He breathed the breath of life into us. He comes down and he understands that if he's going to come down here and lead an inspirational way, he needs to do something. Okay? So he comes down and he makes himself nothing first. Okay? He empties himself. The theological term there is kenosis. It's a term of self-emptying. Okay? He empties himself because he understands, I don't want to lead from here. I need to come and lead from here. Okay? So the rabbis has a nice theory. We can debate about it. Not now, after church. They say the first thing that God did was not to create the heavens and the earth. Okay? Follow their logic. They say if God was and is everything, let's say if he was everything and the only thing at that time, the first thing he had to do before he could create us was to make space for us. Okay? In a way, he had to step back and create a space for us. Let's go back to marriage. It works nicely. Who of you on the camp? Hands up. Do you remember the D personality? Okay? Just follow me, those who weren't there. The dominant director. Okay? Rudolf, is that you? Okay? He goes and he directs, because the only way he acts is he likes to do, do, do. It comes into a dominant position. The S, on the other hand, I'm going somewhere with this, okay, is a very sensitive person. Who's the S's in the house? Okay. Follow me here. This is going to make sense, okay? The S's are very sensitive to the needs of others, okay? They are very valuable. They are the gel of a team. They keep the team together. What happens when the husband is a D, very strong, and his wife is an S? Very calm, don't talk a lot, think a lot, wants to bless. Okay? What will happen in that relationship if the husband does not make space for his wife to be? What will happen? Tell me. She will die in her heart. And we see this. How's marriage doing in South Africa? How's marriage doing in the world? If I do not make space for my wife, she will not live. Tiens, you're a D. Your wife is a S. I promise you now, if you hurt a little pet or a dog or pick a flower, when Tiens' wife is around, you better run. Because she's going to get you, okay? Tiens had to turn around and drive 50 kilometers to pick up a dog that was alongside the road. Okay? My example is this. If Tiens does not make space for his wife that is loving, that is caring, that prays for everyone in that hospital, she will die in their house. He needs to make space for her so that she can live and bring her out. The same way God makes space for us to live. Otherwise, he would have squashed us. He's making space every day. Okay? Christ had to come down and make space. The same way, if you want to start by living outwards, Where do you start? You need to reduce yourself. You need to become nothing. So that Christ can be more in me and I can be less. Amen? That is the start. And we cannot get past that. You can be a great businessman. You can be a great rugby player. You will not be an inspirational leader if you do not get this. Okay? I want to use an example. I want to use Bill Gates. There was a guy in his company that cost him millions. One mistake. One mistake, millions. So they sat around the table in the board meeting and they asked him, "So are you firing this man? I hope you do." He says, "I will never fire this man. He just learned a 5 million rand lesson. He will stay." The ability to just look over the hill, you know. That's why he's an inspiration today. He's a good leader. Okay? It remains the same for us. We need to start where God starts. We need to become less. Let me just get my slides going here. I'm almost done. Thanks for your awesome attention. In the church today, let's make it practically. Please read with me from Hebrews 10. Let us, important for me, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Next verse there. Not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. First thing, what meeting is the writer referring to here? Don't neglect to meet together as a habit of some, but encourage one another. What's happening here is I'm holding the mic and I'm encouraging you, hopefully. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews is saying, do not neglect to meet together where you encourage one another. Chances is he is speaking about a different meeting than church, even in those times. I guess that's where cell group started from. Okay? We need to get together to do this one thing. Encourage one another. Just the previous verse, if we can just go back for 1 second. And let us consider to stir up one another to love and good works. Question. If I stir up Flocky to do good works, who will be the beneficiary of those good works? And Lance, and Tiens, and Netlam. Who will be the beneficiary? The world. Us, yes. The world will benefit from us coming together, encouraging one another, and stirring up good works. I love what we're going to do in just a few weeks. Cycle in there within the flats and pray. We need to stir each other up to do the work of God, or it will not be done. Amen? Just the last comments on that. Especially there in that last part, it says, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? The day when Christ comes back. I want to make a statement here. And I'm saying this, it's getting more and more crucial for us to remain in fellowship than ever before. And that's what the writer is saying. All the more, we should be encouraging each other more towards the end. We should be meeting together more, praying for each other more. Or we will fall off the bus. I think if there's something I've learned this 1 year, I've been now with the office a bit longer than a year. There's one thing I've learned. Read my lips, if I can say it in a respectable way. Lone rangers don't make it. I promise you, I see it once a week. If you get offended, stay in the church. Don't run out. Every week I see this. 1, 2, 3, cuckoos. Okay? We lose the hope in Christ instantaneously. And we miss out on encouraging each other. And this is what the writer is saying. As that day draw near, we must make sure that we get encouraged more, not less. Okay? You know, some of these people with the judgment day and everything, they said the era of the church is finished. The time of the church is getting more and more important as Christ comes back. We cannot be isolated. We will not make it. Amen? We need to encourage one another in that small groups of ours. We need to ask, we just go through those things that we've mentioned. Lord, what is this person's calling? How can I help him get there? One step at a time. Lord, this person, her head's always hanging. But actually, she is contributing in an amazing way. We always feel very at ease in our house. We always have coffee. We always have tea. This is an environment where we can worship God. Go tell her that. You have meaning. Thank you for this. We can take this and apply it in our groups. And you can go and apply it at your work. See how your work environment changes. You start opening your mouth. Okay? And speak the truth. Last slide there. In all of this, let me just sum it up. If you don't know the Lord Jesus today, this will not make sense. You need to be inspired by Christ first. Okay? You need to come to Him so that He can save you. That's the start. If your love for Christ have grown cold, run back to Him. Don't wait. Run. Be aggressive about it. Okay? Have you seen Bucky's Boota close to the trial line? Doesn't walk around. He gets over. Okay? And for some of us, we need to get that going. We need to be aggressive about the things that's important in our life. Your faith is the most important thing you have. Don't neglect it. Okay? I love that piece so much. Now, Paul writes to Timothy. And you know when Paul writes about Timothy in the Bible, he's always got good things to say about Timothy. He loves Timothy. He says he's a man that can be trusted and he's got a good character, but he's got one problem. As a bangbroek. He's scared. He's scared to exercise the gifts that's in his life by the Holy Spirit that was given to him by the laying on of hands. So Paul has to remind him a few times, Timothy, you are faithful, but I remind you to stir up the gift in you. God has not given you that spirit of fear. Be aggressive about it. And I want to say today, these people sitting here, that if they start moving, we will see things we've never seen before. Stir up the gift in you. Okay? Don't let it lay there. Get someone to get next to you. Phone your friend and say, we need to talk about this. Because God has been spoken to me about prophesying, and I haven't opened my mouth for 3 months. Hold me accountable for my calling. I need to start talking. Start praying for people. Send them SMSs. Mail them. I don't care what you do, but get the gift going in your life. Help each other. Okay? We cannot... You know that I can die a spiritual death while being a pastor? I can close my heart for the gifts of God in ways I can work out sermons, nice structure, and I can miss my calling completely. Did you know that? It's possible. If people are not asking me and pressing me the whole time, I will grow cold in Christ while standing behind this laptop. It can happen. The second thing is, be inspired by the people. Be inspired by your church. If you want to grow in Christ, let me be very honest. I'll be the bad guy. Tens will talk nicely next week. The church has got marvelous ways of teaching you and inspiring you. Can I name a few? Foundation 1, 2, 3, 4. It's there to inspire you to new heights in Christ. Go and receive so that you can give. Be inspired. Bible school. You know what? There's no end to it. If you are hungry to give, come eat first. And take someone with you. Okay? And do you know what? The world will be a beneficiary. If we are obedient to Christ, the world cannot but eat all the fruit, because Christ tells us the whole time, go out, love your enemies, tell them the good news. So actually we only have to focus on those two. Following Christ and getting active in the church, and by itself we will go out to the world. Amen. I want to do something that I've never done before. It's probably never have been done in church, but I need to be obedient to God. Where's Ewald? I want to show you guys how it's done. Can you please come to the front, Ewald? And Peter. I've been praying for the sermon, and God explicitly asked me to pray for these two people and encourage them in front of you guys, publicly. I was preparing for my sermon, and I dreamt about you the whole night. I was praying for you in my dreams, and God just said, I don't dream. I don't dream dreams, okay? I know I have to pray for you, and I want to do it publicly because I want to show them how to encourage someone. Is that okay? Okay? As I was praying for him, I felt in my heart, I must pray for you. Is that okay? So as the band comes up, can we all just stand up? I'm just going to pray for them. And
I dreamt about Ewald last night as well, so.
Well, okay, go.
Actually, I dreamt about him Thursday night, but I didn't know you were talking about this.
I dreamt about him Thursday night. You see, God is working. Okay, cool. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for Peter, Lord, and I want to thank you for the calling out of his life, Lord. And I thank you just for the urgency, Lord, that you showed both myself and Ewald on the same night, Lord, just to pray for him, Lord. And the sense that I had in my heart, Lord, is he is called to touch the nations in spectacular ways, Lord. But it's not because he's fantastic, but it's because Christ that is in him, Lord. And thank you that he will make space for Christ to work in him and through him, Lord. Lord, we just release him now into the ministry, Lord. We say, go and do the work of God. You are anointed and you are appointed by Christ Jesus. And when you go, the enemy will run. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can pray with me for Ewald. And Lord, when I pray for Ewald, Lord, You just laid on my heart, Lord, that he has got the ability and anointing from you, Lord, to break open the word. Lord, I pray that he will have a hunger for the word of God. He will break it open and he will share it with others, Lord. Lord, I also felt, Lord, that just that piece of scripture where you spoke to the disciples and you were referring to the Pharisees and you said, they have their reward. But Ewald's reward is not here, Lord. His reward is in heaven. And Lord, so what does he get for following you, Lord? He gets you. That's it, Lord. Lord, I pray that he will make a peace with that truth. But even in that, will lift his head, Lord, eat the word and break it for the world to eat, Lord. Thank you for his faithfulness. And we as a congregation release him right now, Lord, into that ministry, Lord. He will minister your word, Lord. And there will be many fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to finish off by just saying this. The parable of the sowers is a piece of scripture that's close to my heart. And what's interesting about it is if you really read about it and you study it, you see that the guy or the landowner, okay, the one with a heart where the seeds fall, okay, he's got a responsibility to take his land there where the seeds is falling. If you read it carefully, okay, it speaks about people that as Jesus was still coming towards their town, already they went out to meet him because they couldn't wait to hear him. As he came into their town and he left on the other side because it said he visited all the towns, they went with him. Okay, the whole time presenting their hearts, Lord, just throw some seed on me. Okay, I want to ask you straight, are you presenting the land or your heart to receive seed? No seed, no fruit. A lot of seed, a lot of fruit, and the world will eat. Take that responsibility. Christ is the sower, he will sow, but present your heart to him. Okay? Let us just worship God.